cliffcentral.com.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Wedding Central and on Cliff Central, and with myself, Kylie de Villiers, and Ntombi.
We got a very tired
Ntombi in studio today.
Yeah. But it's coming back. I'll be fine. We have also, do you want to introduce Daniela?
We've got Daniela. And
hello.
Daniela is a bride. She's just recently got engaged, and Ntombi, have we got an idea of what we're actually talking about?
So the idea around today's conversation is about, you know, I kind of want to explore what are kind of the awkward moments that happened once you become engaged, and like these things that you kind of now need to navigate around as you're now developing through this now very fresh wedding planning process. So that's kind of like what we wanted to chat about.
We've got yourself.
All right.
So you can have some input as well.
Yeah. I forget very often that, so that's where it's at.
You can answer your own question as well.
100%. So I think let's start at the beginning. So you're engaged, right? And this all happens and it's great.
Yeah, big surprise.
Fabulous, which is always fun. And then what was your first move? Once you're engaged and you've had this moment with your man and everything's amazing, what was your first move?
I think first of all is that you're like, well, how am I going to announce this?
Right.
Like, you took a while to make the announcement, is that?
Yeah, because it was like, do you put it on Facebook, but then you're going to insult some people and family members who you maybe should have made the call to first.
Right.
But you're excited, so you want to share it.
Uh-huh.
And then the second thing is that you don't actually, if it's a surprise like mine was, you're not prepared. So your hair's not done, your makeup's not done. In my case, I hadn't even brushed my teeth yet. I was not prepared for anything.
Right.
And then it's like, you're still getting used to, because I think definitely the first, even 2 weeks, you're still trying to process the fact that you are now going to be, like, well, you're a fiancé.
Yes.
It's a big thing.
Status change.
So on our side, we decided to try enjoy the moment.
Right.
And went to a little restaurant afterwards just to have time out, and made phone calls together to the family, to our close friends. And then by the end of that, it was what, like, because I got engaged in the morning, it was like 7 o'clock, and Chris was like, well, let's quickly try and take a picture, and maybe we need to now post the picture.
Right, yeah, because now everyone's now starting to talk to everyone.
Yeah, because I remember you phoned me at like about 8:30, I think it was, I'll never forget. And I was like, I constantly was on Facebook, when's she going to make that announcement?
Yes.
So you did take quite a while.
Yeah. But you want everything, I must admit, as a bride, well, being in events and seen so many weddings and that, you want to make sure that you do everything perfectly. But you realize that life isn't perfect.
Yes.
You can't do any of that. You just have to go with the flow, and
it's a real life situation.
Out. Exactly.
It's a real life situation. What have you found have been some, like, what were your first kind of decisions that you kind of were in a rush to make? Like, now you've told everyone and you've announced that you're engaged. What was kind of your next move? Like, how did you, for example, obviously the date is always a big issue.
Yeah.
So how did you guys get to deciding that?
So for us, well, actually my fiance told me that his family, his brother from Australia, was coming out in December, and they're a big family. So for him, it would be ideal, which we would definitely not have a wedding without his brother there. So we decided to do it in the beginning of December when he comes out.
Okay.
And then at least we'd be able to maybe then have a week honeymoon and then spend our time with his family. So the date was pretty much
set before you even got. I think he probably proposed in the whole.
Yeah, he was like, timing.
Pressure. Yet, to be honest, we knew his brother was coming out, and it's one of the questions my dad asked him. He asked my dad if he could marry me, and my dad said, you're not doing this because of pressure.
Okay.
And he was like, not at all. He apparently said to my dad that he knew he wanted to marry me 3 months into our relationship.
Oh, stunning.
But he needed to just wait it out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like they always say it doesn't take the whole day to realize that the sun is shining. Yeah. So, you know.
I've got like questions to ask both of you. What are the emotions going through your heads at the moment while planning your wedding?
Oh, okay. My God. For me especially, I think there's an added pressure because like I'm in the industry and I'm a wedding planner. So I feel like a lot of I feel like a lot of social pressure. And when I say social, it's not with people that are very close to us, like, you know, our friends and our family who know who we are and what we're about.
So people in the what,
yeah,
you do.
It's just kind of people that are associated with me, mm-hmm. or like colleagues or whatever the case is, who feel like, oh, this is going to be wedding of the freaking year. Yeah. Like, you know, stop the press. Yeah. And it's going to be that kind of vibe. And it isn't at all. And then again, I also have the issue that that I kind of struggle with is that, for me, I'm a little bit, perhaps I'm a bit delayed and dragging my feet about it, whereas I have to remember that, like, my husband hasn't had a wedding.
Yeah.
So he...
No, you've had plenty.
Yeah. Because we even agreed that I wasn't going to have an engagement ring, because I was just like, ah, man, it's, like, not a thing. Like, let's just do... You know what I mean? And, you know, he got me an engagement ring, because he's just like, you're skipping steps just because you're, like, in the process. You got to go through... You know, he wants me to go through, like, the whole thing or whatever the case is. So it's, you know, I get, like, they're excited, but sometimes I'm like, just relax, like, it's not like that big a deal. But like, they haven't, you know, the parents as well, they haven't had a wedding, none of them. So
they're very, very excited.
Everyone is like on cloud 10. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, really?
Yeah. Like, I literally just have to add it to my work schedule. It's just like part of, you know, the mechanics. But you just kind of have to like go through it.
And
yeah.
Guest list. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I think that the day that you got engaged, you're already like, holy, what are you doing?
Guest list, panic.
What do people normally do?
I think we've both phoned Carly because it was the next day and I'd gone and made tea or whatever, and I went through to the bedroom and Chris is sitting there with his laptop writing out the guest list, and I was like, hold on, this is hectic.
Yes.
And he's like, but this is a big part of now, like, so I think it's changed about 5 gazillion times.
Yeah.
And
what are things that you guys are considering when deciding on your guest? Like, for example, how do you decide if you're having a big wedding or a small wedding, or like, how are you guys like, or what's the
you,
I don't know, the psyche
to the size
or the
of
thinking
wedding?
Of so, inviting people.
For me, I always, as a little girl, dreamt of this huge, big wedding, especially being a Greek girl.
The dream.
My cousin, big, fat Greek wedding.
Exactly. My cousin got married and had 500 people at the Hilton for her wedding.
I can't.
And then when all the planning started, I was like, actually, I maybe only want 40 and that's it. Just too small. And my fiance is like, no, but we're going to have a big party and it has to be. So you start writing out and think, okay, well, maybe you can deal with like about 200 people.
Yeah.
And then it was like, but hold on, how much is this going to cost?
Right. Yeah.
Which was the next step. And like, Carly, help.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What do we work with? What is a good budget? What isn't it like? And when you put it all together, you're actually working on between 1,500 to 3,000 rand per person.
Right.
Hey, see, and Tommy, we don't bullshit ourselves.
Yeah.
I
feel like maybe every second podcast, we're like, guys, weddings are expensive. Like, everyone who listens, I'm sure they're aware.
It's just kind of how
that's just how this particular cookie crumbles. It's just really, it's just a really expensive thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, we wrote out our little budgets to try and work out. We were very grateful that we're very lucky. Chris's family contributed, his parents.
Right.
And because usually it's, as far as I know, it's the bride's parents. Mm. So that was an added bonus for us.
Right.
What normally happens with the black weddings and forms?
Bride's family takes care of the traditional wedding.
Okay.
And then the white wedding.
Is that why you have one big one?
Perhaps, if that happens. but bride's family takes care of the traditional wedding. And then the white wedding is it's a very new thing to black like culture. Mm. So you find that the white wedding, you know, everyone kind of comes together, or the couple pays for it, or whatever the case is. But the traditional elements are usually taken care of. And remember that with traditional weddings, it happens on both sides. It's just that the groom side is always usually a much smaller celebration. It's not as big as the bride side.
And do you do it over that same weekend? Or is it...
Not so much anymore, because people are realizing travel issues and budget and that kind of thing. So it just kind of depends on the proximity of... Because 9 times out of 10, the people aren't from the same area. Like the one family's in this area and the other family's in another area. So then people have to consider consider, you know, if people are at the other one the day before, can they make it, da 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 da.
But it must just be exhausting for yourself as the bride.
In thought, I'm exhausted. Like, it's a lot. Yeah.
So are we actually having one in Tombi?
Dun, dun, dun.
Are you and your, because I see on like social media, this traditional wedding.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's, I mean, black tax. What can you do? How do you find yourself dealing with people inviting themselves to weddings? Do you know what I mean? Somebody, obviously, you know, that's the, I think, you know, social media sucks in that element, is that obviously now everyone knows that you're engaged, so now they bump into you at Willy's or, you know, Discam or whatever, and they
models.
God.
I invited myself to
I think a year ago already.
I'm like, I will be there.
It's a tricky one. To be honest, I haven't worked out how to deal with it yet, because I've got a few SMSs from people who are like, oh, so excited you're engaged. Let us know if we can help with anything. And when's the date? And I'm going, but you're not on my
word.
List.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Then do you? Don't you?
Yeah.
Do you feel like, okay, maybe we should have a C list?
Yes.
Got your
A
list, your B list.
Like, right.
It's, I don't know if I, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very awkward question. And I, you know, to anybody listening, I always say, please, guys, don't ask.
Yeah, don't ask.
Just congratulate and kind of move on, because you make it kind of awkward for everybody, especially if you put it.
A couple. I mean, they obviously would love to be able to invite 10 million people.
It costs. Ideally. And you know what always makes me sad is that every time I've done a function for a client, you find some people don't pitch. And a client, you know, there's enough people that have not pitched that you've got an empty table. You know, you have one missing there or two missing there or whatever the case is. And it's just like you have no idea how much it costs to feed 10 people, to have decor for 10 people, to what, to what, to what, and now, then you just don't pitch, you know?
I think I would hunt them down and send them an invoice because that's not fair.
I've had brides that literally after the wedding will want to send their friends an invoice or the people
but that's
who they invited.
Yeah.
It's quite scary how many people actually don't arrive on the day.
Especially if you're going to make such a big fuss about it.
Yeah. So...
Then how did you go through the process of, and maybe you haven't told them that, told them yet, no pressure, but in terms of your bridal party, how did you go about selecting that? Like, what are your thoughts in terms of, shucks, how is the selection? Because I always say, obviously, everybody has a group of a bigger group of associates. And then you have, like, kind of associates that cross that line that are, like, they more friendlier than not. And then there's friends and there's best friends. Then, of course, there's obviously family, like your siblings or cousins or whatever the case is. So how, like, what was your approach?
That's a difficult one. Because I think you want to have all your friends or your group of friends standing there next to you. Mm. But again, it comes down to you paying for those dresses, you paying for the suits, you paying. So at this stage, I'm still deciding. Mm. I have incorporated actually my a fiance's sister into my bridal party.
Right.
And he actually asked my brother to be a groomsman, which is great.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to keep it very small, so it will probably be three on each side and that's it.
I think sometimes, I mean, we in general, we have, especially the older you get, like wider circles.
Right.
Friends.
Yes.
And then they may not all like gel. So you've got to look at that. And I'll never forget one of my clients, they just asked all their very closest friends that she wanted to make a bridesmaid, but it didn't really make sense either.
Yeah.
To wear the colour of the wedding.
Oh, stunning.
So there was like 10 girls in navy blue dresses.
Yes.
And the guys were 10. So
nice.
They all just
but
looked.
Still, what happens if you are like, but why wasn't I asked to wear that colour?
It still causes
bridal wars. Okay, so then my next question is, what is the philosophy? And I'm asking both of you because I think I may be thinking about this very differently. But why do you think you have bridesmaids? Like, what's the role of that particular person? Why?
Traditionally, we all know. Well, we don't all know, but they were there to be the bridesmaids. That's what they're there. But I mean, as planners, you know, we will see half the time it's all about the bridesmaids and not about the bride. But But like when I got married, it was, I knew three distinct people and that was it, you know, but it does become a problem when you've got such a big circle. So they're there to support the bride. But as we've had our previous guests before, like it just became more of an issue and we see it often.
Yeah.
We'll meet a client in our first meeting and they've got five bridesmaids. And by the time the final meeting comes, a couple of weeks before the wedding, they're on two.
Yeah.
And they've asked them to be bridesmaids.
Yes.
So they eventually just...
I don't know how they get them.
I think it's just just genuine fights come along. You know, the thing is there's always a huge cost burden when you're a bridesmaid. And in this day and age, it's not like 5 years ago where the brides always used to pay for everything. A lot of the times these days, the bridesmaids are carrying their own stuff. So like they have to pay for the dress and the makeup and the hair and shoes and what. And some people, I've heard people bow out purely out of cost. I can't afford an extra 6,000 rand for this whole thing.
Which I take my hat off to them then, and it's like a
That's honest. Yeah, and they can still come as a guest, and then that I think doesn't sour the relationship. But
I think sometimes bridesmaids to be possibly cringe when their friends get engaged, and they think, oh god,
shit, here we go.
I don't know if I've actually got the money this
year, type of thing, to do it. So I think there's that, but then there is, of course, then just conflict, genuine conflict. They don't get along, or you know, if you have four or five women in one situation and everyone's trying. I always say bridesmaids and a bride, it almost becomes like a pageant because now everyone is trying to look beautiful and everyone wants a great picture and
people wants the glory.
Yes, and you can't because unfortunately it's not about you. So I think that struggle is a huge thing.
Especially when you've got a strong personality as a bridesmaid, it can be, you know, like you want to be and the best bridesmaid ever.
Well, I'll talk to you after the wedding and let you know about it. But I'm hoping not. And I must admit, like, I don't want them to either be carrying this huge financial burden to say, because it is, it's the planning of the kitchen tea and this and that, and people think they have to go over the top for the bride, but it's not about that
at all.
It's about just supporting her and being there with her, and
you know, for me, to be honest, I think bridesmaids, I look way beyond the wedding. I always say, like, my selection is based on people that know me, people that know us as a couple, and people that are going to talk me off the ledge. So if I call and I'm like, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this. I'm done. These are the people that are supposed to, like, remind you, be like, girl, you guys are in love. You could do it and what.
Support.
Do you know? Yeah. Like, you know, beyond the years of after the wedding.
That's
for me, it's like way beyond this actual day. So, you know, I always try, like, even, you know, advise my clients and say, make sure that these people 5, 10, 15 years from now, when you're starting to talk divorce or you're fed up or whatever, these are people that can kind of remind you of,
and they're not going to judge you about when you're having this big fight with your husband.
It's a safe space. They should be able to create a safe space where you
and
can
and they forgive him when you've forgiven him.
Exactly.
That's a big pass.
Yeah.
I think brides also, like, I think they should include bridesmaids as part of their budget, because I think a lot of brides forget the costs that come in.
Yeah. And I always say, it's just, I always say to anyone that if somebody asked you to have an extra 4,000 rand this month that you hadn't planned for, would you think that's fair?
Yeah.
I always just ask that question. So you have to consider that everybody started the year with goals and what and what, and now they've taken on other commitments, and now you're all of a sudden going to come and ask them to add this extra.
Yeah.
You know, is it fair?
For me, I've included all of that. I've included dress, shoes, makeup, hair, the whole thing. Mm. The only thing I didn't include was the accommodation.
Mm.
So I don't know if I should have.
Oh, yeah. Here we, like, putting extra pressure on it.
Yeah.
But that's the only part of it that I didn't include. And to be honest, it would be okay if they can't afford to stay at the hotel and they stay
somewhere else.
Yeah. It's okay, because I think, well, to date, this is the plan, is to have stay at the hotel the night before and just have my mother with me.
Mm.
And then the next day, the bridesmaids can come and get dressed and get involved.
Yeah. What do you find is kind of your biggest pressure? What is the thing that is giving you sleepless nights?
I was just going to ask the same question.
Yeah, like,
what is stressing you out the most at the moment, Tanya?
And we're like, got to keep remembering this is a podcast. And
yeah.
It can go viral. Careful what I say. I think for me, it's like literally just the guest list kills me a bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, I don't, I don't want people to think I haven't invited them because they not part of my my life or world. And in saying that, I'm hoping those people understand that, you know, it's okay. I haven't, because it is, you get people who haven't spoken to you in years.
Yes.
That now want to be there. And it's not just friends, it's family also. Yes. That now want to be like, and you're like, hey, hold on. Have you ever in the last like 20 years been part of my life?
Yeah. Do you know when my birthday is, bro? Like,
are they supposed when the reminder to be comes through
on Facebook, you know what I mean? It's just, I totally get what you're saying. And I see it across the board with my clients. Mm. If there's anything that's going to stress your client more than money, because I always find budget is like the biggest thing, it's always the guest list. Mm. Because number one, they're not in control of the guest list. So family's got this percent or 50 people, and this one's got 10 people, and this, and now it becomes a clash on who's being invited and who's not. And it's a constant justification throughout the entire process, because you go to a family function or somebody else's wedding and people are like, "Woo, can't wait. It's going to be," and they're not on the list. And now, you know, and now your mom or whatever is saying, "But, you know, Auntie Martha must be there." Mm. And, you know, so I totally get the guest list thing. And I just wish people would be more compassionate when it came to weddings, and if you don't
judgmental,
and just
support the couple,
also just don't take it personal. People think that that's the end of the relationship. Oh, she didn't invite me to the wedding, so you know that's the end. And that shouldn't be like the mentality.
That's exactly why I keep thinking, oh well, let's just take it down to 40, because then you just
it's exclusive. Then nobody can really get touched, and they can say, oh, you know what, it was tight knit. They weren't really doing
a big
thing.
At the moment, I think it's going to be a Chris is going, oh no, but she's got a really big Greek family. And I'm going to go, yes, he's got a huge family. Like, I just can't fit it in. It's a tough one.
And tell me, in terms of your suppliers, like, have you had any challenges in terms of choosing those suppliers and deciding on who does what, your venue, you know, that type of thing?
We were very lucky with our venue. At the moment, it's been all our firsts.
Even your dress, wasn't it?
Yeah. So the first venue we did go to is now our venue. It happened to be Greenleaves. We went to another venue, sat down there, and we're like, listen.
Didn't feel right.
Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't have the feeling. I walked at Greenleaves. I walked into the church. Chris was behind me. The little chapel, and I turned around and he was actually bawling. He was crying, and I had tears in my eyes. And then it was sitting in the car going, well, can we actually afford this? I don't know if we can. And things have just been like incredible. If I say we're very blessed, and I'll bring in like God does look after us in a big way,
right?
But we got a phone call when the two of us were sitting in the room, and one of his groomsmen phoned us and said, listen, what venue are you looking at? And we were like, Greenleaves. And he said, oh, my friend owns it, and I'll phone you back now.
Right.
And we managed to, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah,
everything
yeah.
is just
the universe
perfect.
Is a crazy thing. Yeah. I always say, I don't know what higher powers, universe, God, you know, Muhammad, call it what you will. But
it
I always,
tend to work.
It just does Works. Work in your favor. It always, always
and dress
does.
Dress was first dress I tried on.
Right.
Even though I went to another 3 places afterwards, it created the emotion, and I think that's what you got to go with, the gut feel.
Yeah, shucks, I'm so grateful for my dress thing. It was like easy.
Well, you went shopping overseas, didn't you?
We were on holiday. My mom and I were on holiday.
Yeah.
We walked past. We saw a dress in the thing, and we saw a dress in the window. They were almost closing, and we're just like, ah, we just try on this one dress, and they're like, ah, make an appointment, come back tomorrow. We're just like, it's just the one dress. Put the dress on. My mom and I are crying. The shop people are crying. Tears all around, and we're just like, done. Super easy. So yeah, so that was pretty easy.
And then obviously, I must admit, I will tell everybody, and every bride should have it, is have a coordinator.
Yeah.
Like, we saw our mock-up.
Yeah. You know, for me, again, I think being in the industry is it's a bit of a disadvantage in this instance, because I feel like this may sound, because every supplier that I call and I say, listen, please quote me for this or whatever, is this for you? No, I'm just, no, this is still clients. This has nothing to do with me yet or whatever the case is. And I just feel like it's it may or may not sour relationships, because I think everyone, and I think people have their hearts in a good place. They genuinely just want to help me out because, you know, maybe the business relationship or whatever the case is. But it's a very difficult choice to make on who do you contact, who do you not.
But you've helped them. So I think you guys need to understand that.
Yeah, so it's their way of
reciprocating
relationships. Yeah, I don't know.
But work with people that you know, and like I say, working with a coordinator, they can advise you on who to use. Like we were talking about photographers.
Right.
There are scams out there.
Yeah.
I've had two friends now who just don't, since their wedding, they don't have photos. Wow. And they cannot get a hold of
the people.
Can you
imagine that?
I'm so devastated for them because you can't redo that day. No. All you have are the memories in your head.
Money's gone through.
Yeah, oh my God. And I always say to people, that's all you have left at the end of the wedding. And even the memories in your head will fade over time. So you do need something that's going to be like, oh my God, I even forgot that this person said that crazy thing or whatever the case is. So if you don't have like a video or a photo or anything, I just feel so sad for them. Because
and to try and redo it and get dressed in your dress again.
You're never going to have it. The feeling's not there. The guests aren't there. I always say, even with my clients that do a post shoot, I always say, you know, you do a post shoot out of absolute necessity, but I'm never for it because you're not going to have the glow about you. Yeah. You know, it's not going to be the same. No. You'll look beautiful, but it's not going to be like the same vibe.
So as brides in the room, what is your worst question that you get asked on a continual basis? What is it that really just do I have to hear that question again?
Yeah. You, Kylie. You are the worst question.
Why?
Yes.
Zombies, when's
Stop
the wedding?
Asking me about my damn wedding. I will give you the details. When am I going to give you the details? Do you know what I mean? But it's not just you. It's like all of my mates as well. You bump into them. That's enough. Enough information.
The reason why I ask, like, you send the save the date, right? And it's not, like, I know it's like a destination wedding. And it's like, okay, but we want to just, like, plan. Like,
yeah, you've got the date and you've got the area.
How much is it going to cost?
And that is enough.
Like, accommodation. I like to plan it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's totally fair. But, I mean, you know, we've given out the area and we've given out the date. And even if we don't say where we're particularly getting married, that town is super small. You can't get lost. Wherever you book yourself, you will be close. Everywhere
okay,
is.
So we just,
do you know what I mean?
That's the only reason why I asked.
That's fine.
And I've only asked two questions. Twice.
Every time I see you, so where are we with the wedding? Yeah, I get it, but it's not just you, it's everyone. So what now? Where are we now? Have you done this or whatever?
The things I've had are people like, oh my goodness, your ring's beautiful. Have you had it valued? And
yes.
I'm like, what? Are you serious?
No, but you have to get it like insured.
No, but he's done insured. His thing. So why must I now go
why
to
do
a
tell
jeweler shop and say, like, I was like,
really?
Yeah, and I'm like, it's not for me. It is the fact that I'm going to marry this man and I'm going to have, he's going to be my family.
Yes.
Like, not the fact.
I'm finished. No, people ask you this.
People have zero boundaries. Like, if there's one thing I've learned about, like, being in this wedding planning process.
I don't have boundaries.
No. I mean, you're different because you're a mate. It's a different level. But I mean, just people have like no thought.
None whatsoever.
It's like almost like they have access to your life now that you're getting married or something.
Yeah.
So like they kind of tell you how to live. But I also wanted to ask about that, Daniela. As much as it's exciting planning a wedding and what, do you find that you are having time to prepare yourself to become somebody's wife? Because a lot of the times with my client, I always get very concerned when somebody becomes so obsessed and so they can't get past the wedding that you find that they're not really appreciating perhaps the relationship. Not maybe appreciating is maybe the wrong word, but they're not perhaps putting as much effort into the relationship and
it's all into the
gearing up to become somebody's wife and the relationship after that particular day. So
I understand where you're coming from there. Like there's one thing, we don't live together. It's our thing that we'll only move in when we get married. So then
so that's gonna be very
then
cool.
Next year it's going to be a whole and more time to get to know each other actually
and
grow. But our big thing is our morals and values are the same.
Mm.
And we have been doing, well, we start in the next month, a course with our minister.
Right.
And that's for 7 weeks.
Mm.
And we also found, well, someone gave us the most beautiful book on relationship dares, but incorporating God into it.
Right.
And it's a passage you read a day.
Oh, wow.
So the two of us in the evenings are having that time out. We read the passage. We do the little dare that it gives you at the bottom. And it actually helps you understand each other. Because we do. We're going to grow with each other and learn more about each other every day.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old you get and how long you've been together.
It's constantly changing, because what you guys were a year ago is not what you're going to be 2 years from now. Mm. So it's a constant rediscovery and trying to. 5 years in September.
Wow.
I literally just got goosebumps saying that. We actually, I didn't realize until our anniversary is on the 23rd. So, 23rd of now, what month are we in now? May.
June tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah. And he was just saying that, shucks, September's going to be five years. Incredible. I was like, it can't be, and, trying to find everything. But, it goes really, really quickly.
Jacques and I have been together 14 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Married four, but you, the other day he was working with his screwdriver and it cut his finger, and I was like, ugh. And I learned something. I'm like, geez, maybe I should go for a wound dressing course. Because my husband is that type of person that's always going to be doing these type of things.
And I'm like, geez,
but I have not known this already about him. But you do. And you grow so differently all at the same time, so it's very important.
Yeah.
And you've done your marriage counseling course, and you've spoken very highly of it.
Look, I would never say to anyone not to do it. Before I did it, I didn't care for it. I didn't think it was a necessary thing, but I think going through some kind of a course counseling, some kind of a prep routine together as a couple before you get married, it completely changes the dynamic and the thinking and the approach to a wedding. Do you know what I mean?
It's not all about the wedding anymore.
Well, that's an important thing. You've got to it's not about
your marriage afterwards. Exactly. And for me, it was only after that process that I really kind of came to terms with the concept of being obliged and being one with this other person. You're a team now, and you know what, come what may, that's your guy, you know what I mean? I would never say bypass that particular thing. But Carly, in hindsight, after your wedding, what were perhaps mistakes or things that you're like, oh shucks, I just wish, and as a bride, not as a planner, as a layman,
I wanted to do a marriage counseling. I never got the time because of my work. And I think that's a big thing. And Jacques and I've got a very strong relationship, but we butt heads, and I think there's certain things we've butted heads on if we after the wedding and after the marriage that could have actually been ironed out. So I think that's a big thing. I don't know. I had the best day ever. I would do it over again.
And
I think that's what every bride wants.
Yeah.
And I think that's most of the brides. Anyone who's
that's
ever had a wedding,
you
that's
want.
The feeling.
Yeah.
I think some people have that feeling that maybe they didn't want to marry this person.
Oh, that might be scary.
I don't regret any minute of it.
And then because all of you here, or all of us here, are business people, we all run our own companies and whatnot. Yeah. What do you think do you think that is different? How do you think that's different for your relationships? And do you think that changes your approach or your thinking when considering
marriage,
a wedding, your relationship? Do you think it makes it any different at all? What do you think?
Well, I've got a husband that works for somebody.
Right.
And that is our biggest clash, I think.
Right.
Because I've got to do everything it takes to get that business going and running. And, whereas my husband's other way, he's employed by somebody and he can switch off and say this is overtime and whatever. I don't have that at all.
Right.
So I think that's our biggest battle. He doesn't see although he's business minded because he's grown up with parents who've got their own business.
Right.
But that's our biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Is that he just, why are you doing it this way? And but I'm like, but
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But
yes.
I think both has its pros and cons, because Chris and I both have our own businesses. But in saying that, then you climb into bed at night and you checking emails and going through your work instead of actually, and we mentally have to be like, no, it's done. It's 10 o'clock at night. Phone goes down.
Time up.
Like, we're cooking dinner. Don't answer that phone call.
Yeah.
But so that is the difficult.
Yeah.
Yes, coming into any relationship at the moment. The technology thing, I think.
Technology is definitely, and it's something that I actually want to speak to somebody like about, genuinely about the effects of technology and social media on a relationship, because I do think it's heavy. But I think just as like a businesswoman or somebody who's got their own business, like you're saying, it is a constant struggle. But, you know, for me, like, one of the best things my mom ever said to me is that as much as we all like, you know, feminism, woman power, why
are you talking
why
about
why
the
why
sex
why
thing?
No.
You know, not yet. Oh, come on, not yet.
No, we can, but no. Sex is great all the time. It's a great thing. Carry on. But, you know, one of the best pieces of advice that she ever gave me was that when you become somebody's wife, be their wife and be their wife in full.
Yes.
So if you have a business and what, it's not to take away from that. That's great, well done. But when you get home or when you're interacting with your husband, yes, you gotta just put your entrepreneur stuff down. And when you're a wife, be a wife and be a wife in full. And that for me has, I think, saved me a million headaches, do you know what I mean? Because
I'm like, can you see my ass?
Yeah. I mean, but it's things that you learn, and this
what
is
way though.
It just, you have to let him be a man and let him play that particular role. And you know, those gender roles, as
you're not
much
a boss
as I'm not the
you're
back into
control.
Yes, because
in a good way.
Yes, 100%. Because obviously, when you run your own business, you can make the decisions without consulting anyone. You can try and go on the fly. It's all of your things or whatever the case is. But, you know, when you back with your husband, make sure that everything is discussed and you're doing everything together and you're making decisions and what together, and serve him. And, you know, all of those things that, you know, as a wife, and I know it's things that have changed, like the gender roles, people are like, oh, woman and what. But do the things that, you know, our parents used to do in their relationships as, you know, those gender roles sometimes aren't such a bad thing.
I just find now with bringing a child into the dynamic, it's completely different.
Right.
Like, I got home last night and I got home at like 7 o'clock because I had meetings with clients and he's bathed, he's cooked meal, and I was like, she's like, I don't feel like the woman of the house. it was a big wake up call for me, because it's just like, my husband is so used to running the household.
Yeah.
Now, and that is a challenge.
Yeah. But you see, that's teamwork. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's a constant struggle.
So when he says like, when you say like, you must be the wife and you like serve him, I'm like, I never serve my husband.
And I get coffee in bed as well in the morning.
These are not bad things. Yeah, these are not bad things.
Just,
but it's just like
the guilt feel even worse.
Excuse. So Daniela, just in closing, for somebody who is going through, like, maybe they just got engaged this past weekend or whatever the case is, what would you say is like a constant, I don't want to say sobering thought, like a constant thought that you constantly remind yourself that's kind of getting you through this planning process? Like, what
for
always
me,
brings you down
end.
To calm?
So I'm going to be, like, the fiancé side is, I'm going to be a wife.
Right.
Like, that's the big thing. And he's chosen me to be, like, his wife.
Mm.
I think that's the exciting part.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I get to call him like my family.
Yes.
That's a big thing for me.
Yeah, and that kind of keeps you.
Stop thinking that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of brides actually in their planning, they
lose
so
sight
consumed
of
this planning.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think that's a big one.
No, 100%, 100%.
And you too, hey?
No, always.
Excited about your wedding, though.
Yeah. I must. It's winter.
I'm like more excited than Toby.
Yeah, I think everyone is, and that's what worries me. I feel like I'm just gonna serve like samosas now at this point. And just have daisies at the and we'll have an open bar, like that's the only thing.
I'm keen. A good party and good family. Well, thanks for listening to us, and we'll catch you next week on Wedding Central.
cliffcentral.com.